I want to talk to you tonight about something that is much sought after by many, much effort being expended in the search to obtain it, and very often much money paid to try to secure it. But for all such effort, the thing so earnestly sought continues to elude the seeker after it. I'm speaking to you about that great experience of which the Lord Jesus Christ has referred to here, that of rest. You know what physical rest is. Whenever you've worked long hours on the stretch, to lie down on a couch, a settee or a chair, or better still in bed, and to know what it is to have relaxation and a good night's sleep, and how refreshing that is in the physical sense, is very pleasurable and alleviating. Or if we take the other part of our personalities, our minds, whenever the mind is in turmoil and anguish, and maybe we have heard things that disturb us and weaken us, then it's most assuring to us whenever a word of comfort is spoken, or maybe some news that we hear, it seems that the burden has lifted and the mind is calmed and soothed again. It is at rest. It is at peace. It's the same in the spiritual dimension, which I believe the Lord is speaking about in the main in these verses that I want to talk to you about tonight, and I'd like for you to listen carefully to. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. They're pretty well known, at least verse 28, but we just want to look at them all. And for that purpose, I want us to read them again. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Though very often in verse 28 is cited and quoted on its own, it's really part of this section. And verse 28 comes along with verse 29 and 30. You'll notice the word rest occurred there in verse 29 also. So about this rest then, that's what we want to be giving thought to tonight. And I want you to notice, first of all, the worth that it possesses. I think you'll agree with me, to have rest, whether it's body or mind, it is something that is worth having. But whenever we come to look at it in the spiritual realm and dimension, it's absolutely vital that we have it. And it's most valuable. And this can be seen if we look at some matters concerning it. First of all, its substance. What exactly did the Lord Jesus Christ mean by it here in this particular text? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor. Take the word labor. It has the meaning of wearisome toil. And especially for all of the toil and all of the fatigue in it, there is no desirable end product as a result. To labor and toil and to achieve as a result of labor and toil, that's a satisfying thing. But the word here in the original, I'm given to understand, means that for all the toil and labor, there is nothing satisfactory at the end of it. So keep that in mind. Wearisome toil without a favorable end product. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. The thought here is of burdens. There are different kinds of burdens. There is burden that comes as a result of responsibility. You remember Moses felt the heat of the day very keenly. And he began to talk to the Lord and he says, Lord, I am not able to bear all this people alone. They are so numerous. I need help. And of course, the Lord alleviated the burden there by giving him numbers of men to share the great responsibilities of the governance of Israel with. There is the responsibility that we have of living right, of serving the Lord. And sometimes that burden is a very heavy one, and it can weigh so heavily upon us at times that it seems to have a crushing effect. But there comes the burden here of which I believe the Lord is referring to. The burden that comes upon people who are trying to make themselves acceptable with God by religious rites and ceremonies. I think this is what the Lord is referring to in this particular passage. If you remember the Lord Jesus Christ preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, he was saying in that fifth chapter particularly, words mostly like this with maybe a few variations. Ye have heard how it hath been said by them of old time, but I say unto you. You turn back to Matthew 5 tonight sometime, or sometime tonight, and check this for yourself, and see how he is setting himself up as an authority. He is not going against the law of Moses, but rather he's going against what the scribes and the Pharisees throughout the centuries interpreted it as, and added all their dogma and tradition and ceremonies to it, that the people were under pressure. You remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said on one occasion, whenever he was denouncing the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23. He says, you have laid burdens on the people, grievous and heavy to be borne, and you haven't done a thing, you haven't lifted a finger to give them some help. And he was talking about what had accumulated on the law of Moses throughout the years by the interpretations and by the additions of the scribes and Pharisees. The law of Moses in itself was something that was a burden to the people, as we'll see in a few minutes, but the Lord was denouncing the scribes and Pharisees here. And as a result, these people were trying their best to make themselves acceptable with God by giving themselves as much as they could rigorously and meticulously to try to make themselves acceptable with the Lord. And they could not find rest in it. There was no rest from them. The rest that the Savior is talking about here is a release from such a struggle, from the burden of legalism, trying to make ourselves acceptable with God by religious observances. This is a peace, this is a rest from the conviction and the guilt of sin also, and from the fear of death and judgment that follows on. You remember how God spoke in the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 57 and verse 20, where he said that the wicked are like the troubled sea that cannot rest, whose waters are full of dirt and mire. Am I speaking to someone tonight? You're both ungodly. Maybe people who have no time even for religion here. Or maybe somebody religious and you're working and working and you're trying to make yourself acceptable to God by religious rites and ceremonies. I want to tell you tonight, that's not the way to find rest. That is not the way to obtain peace. The answer and the experience lies somewhere else. But there is rest and peace and alleviation from the struggle. But notice not only the substance here of this rest, but notice its scale. Let's notice the wording again in verse 28 of Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Think of the extensiveness and how wide-ranging the offer of rest is that the Savior is given. All ye that labor. All needy people, in all places, in all ages, from the beginning of the world. Way back during the time in the wilderness, whenever Moses had been used of God to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, they were in the wilderness for quite a considerable time. And the children of Israel were stubborn, they were rebellious, they were disobedient, And God had to deal with them. He had to chastise them. And in one occasion, he said, "My presence shall go with thee. I will give thee rest." The psalmist in the middle of that era, about 1,000 years before the Lord spoke these words, was told in God's word, Psalm 37, "Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him." So there is rest away from the beginning. In the days of Jeremiah, this was the word: "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, and walk therein, and you'll find rest for your souls." And now, right in the era of the Lord Jesus Christ's time, he's promising it again for all peoples, for all ages. And if you, my dear hearer, feel yourself in need of this, this is for you. This is what he's promising. And that brings me to the third thing about the value, about the worth of this. Not only the substance of it, not only the scale of it, but the source of it. It's not found in religion, rites, or ceremonies, or sacraments, or good works, or paying your way. The Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's the one who is able to do this for you. He says on another occasion, "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." God's peace, Christ's peace, is different, markedly so, from what the world can give with all its glitz and glamour and whatever else it has to offer. Way back there in Isaiah chapter 14, God has something very wonderful, very important to say to those who were listening to him. Isaiah 14 and verse 3, "And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve." It comes from the Lord. This is the source of it. "The peace of God that passeth all understanding keeps the heart and the mind through Christ." In fact, in Romans 15 and verse 33, God is called the God of peace. So that's the source of it. Tell me, my dear hearer, is this not something that's priceless? Is it not valuable? Is it not of signal worth to have this kind of rest? The worth that it possesses. But I want you to notice, secondly, the way that it is obtained. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." How may I have it? We've got to cease from our own good works. We've got to cease from self-effort. We've got to realize it's not in an adherence to rigorous legalism and religious activities and ceremonies bringing us into bondage, but rather it's the way set out here. I want you to notice, first of all, there must be contact with the source before it can be obtained. For instance, if you've got a fever and there's medication for that, well, then that medication and you must come into contact. It's very important. Or if there's a thirst that needs to be slaked, the cool beverage and you must come together. Or if you're out working and dirt has accrued and you want to get clean, there must be contact with the water. We cannot experience this rest apart from the Lord Jesus and our coming into contact with him. But there's more than that. The Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me." There must not only be the contact, but there must be the coming to him. In order to make the contact, we've got to go from where we are to where he is. That entails repentance and faith. We must believe that the Lord Jesus Christ can give this rest. We must turn from the things where we have been seeking it apart from him. And then we must take him at his word, and we must trust him. And that's how you become a child of God, contact with him, a coming to him, but there's something else. And this is all part of it. Again, would you notice the wording? Verse 28, then moving on from that, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. We're introduced here to the yoke, and it's part of coming to the Lord Jesus for this rest. Now, most of you know that the yoke was an implement that was put over the shoulders of a beast to draw a load, maybe to draw a plow. And sometimes it was a yoke that covered two beasts beside each other. It was a heavy implement. And if there was a turning away from it, it would chaff the shoulders of the animal. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ here is saying that in order for us to have this rest, we must make contact with him, we must come to him, and we must commit to him. And let me explain a little. The Word of God tells us that once we become Christians, we are heirs of his. Do you know what that means? That means that you stand to come into an inheritance. Heirs come into inheritances. The Bible says that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, and therefore there is for us, Peter tells us, an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved for us in heaven. You are kept by the power of God. Think of that. What a prospect that is open to the Christian's view. And the sweeter as the days go by. He's also called a soldier. And we are to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Very often in the Word of God he's called a servant. But there is a very special word for servant, referred often to the Christian. It's the word, Greek word, doulos, and it means slave. So what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying is, in order for you and me to obtain this rest, we've got to come to him, we've got to get into contact with him, trust him as our Savior, commit ourselves to him entirely. It's not a matter of making a decision and leaving it at that. The decision is important. It's initial. But there must be a continual submitting to the yoke. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Now the yoke of religious observances that the Jews were under was not easy. Let me read to you what the apostles resolved at that great presbytery meeting in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15. Whenever the Judaizers in the church that wanted to put the Gentile believers under religious rites and ceremonies that were Judaistic, the conclusion of this great presbytery meeting arrived at was this, in verse 8 to 10 of Acts 15. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? That was the law of Moses, the ceremonial, the civil, and all that was associated with it. And the chairman is saying here, neither we nor they could bear. Don't put the yoke on these Gentile believers. Notice the next verse, verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. There's no difference. We come to Christ the one way. The leader of this presbytery, the moderator of this presbytery is saying, we come to Christ the one way. Let's not put these Gentile believers over what we have been delivered from or under what we've been delivered from in the rigors of the law. You remember what Paul wrote to the Galatians. And the Galatians were Judaizers as well. And the converts there, if the churches at Galatia we're running the risk of coming under that teaching. This is what Paul says in chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Yoke of bondage. Judaism, legalism, rites and ceremonies been done away with as a means of salvation through Christ's atoning work on the cross. I said earlier that these scribes and Pharisees were trying to impose this upon the people in the Lord Jesus' day. Let me read you that quote from Matthew 23 and verse 4. And in that chapter, there are many woes that the Savior pronounces upon these religious leaders. But in verse 3 and 4, we have these words. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. And the Lord Jesus spoke to the same purpose to the lawyers in Luke 11 and verse 46. So what the Lord is saying is, I'm delivering you from this terrible heavy burden of religious rites and ceremonies. But as you come to me for rest, part of the obtaining of that rest is putting yourself under my yoke that is easy and my burden is light. Men and women, that yoke is lined with love and compassion. The Lord is under it on one side and you on the other. I on the other. What a yoke. Whenever we become free, we're not free to do evil, but real freedom lies in being under the yoke of the Lord Jesus. This is the way to experience this rest. Make contact with the Lamb of God, the Lord of glory. Come to Him. Repent of your sin. Trust Him as your Savior. And gladly give yourself to Him entirely. And settle it. This is what you're going to do for the rest of your life. Put yourself under the yoke of Christ. So the Christian, when he becomes one as an heir of God, he's a soldier and he's a slave, a servant here. But notice what else he is. It's all part of this rest. He becomes a pupil, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Just the way an apprentice to a trade would be apprentice to a tradesman. He's under the yoke there to him. He's learning the trade. The young man's parents, in all probability his father, has apprenticed him off in the olden times to some well-known skillful journeyman. Or, to change the metaphor, he puts the child under the tutelage of a great teacher. And he comes under the yoke of that teacher. And that parent sends that child to school every day to be taught, to sit at the feet, and to be under the yoke of the educator. And whenever we come to Christ, make contact with Him, come to Him, put ourselves under the yoke. He is our teacher. And what a relationship there is with Him from that time until the end of our days on earth. My yoke is easy. My burden is light, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. We have seen tonight the worth that this rest possesses. We have seen the way that it's obtained. I want you to notice, lastly, the witness that it bears. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That there is such a possession of great worth as this rest is. We're being told that there's a witness being born to something here. And that witness is to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. The central person here is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what this rest is bearing witness to. It's in Christ. Let me say that it's bearing witness to the Savior's availability. If Christ is given, we're seeing here just how available he is. And he has made that plain to us in his word. This is what the incarnation and birth of Christ is all about. God manifest in the flesh. The word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, abiding among us, tabernacle among us. You remember his name was called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Christ is available. He says different times, I am come, the Son of Man has come. I am come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. He's available to us. And oh, my dear hearer, he's available here tonight. Are you tempest tossed? Are you struggling? Are you trying to find rest for your soul? It's in the Lord Jesus. He's available here. It's the marvelous thing. He has made himself available. But more than that, this rest is bearing witness not only to the availability of Christ, but to his accessibility. A thing, a person can be available, but you might not have access to them. For instance, Buckingham Palace. It's available. If you want to go over and stand outside the gates, you can do that. You can get a plane journey or a boat journey, a train, a car, whatever way, and you can go and stand outside the palace. But having access to it is another matter. In normal circumstances, you can't do it. Westminster, the House of Commons and the House of Lords, these are historic places. You can see the availability. They're there, part of the landmark of London and our nation. You can go. You can stand outside them. But they're not accessible in ordinary circumstances. You may know of celebrities, whether in the entertainment world or the sports world or some professional work that they're in, and they become people of celebrity status. Oh, they're available. Sometimes you can get within shouting distance to them, but you don't have access to them in ordinary circumstances. But not so with the Lord Jesus. He has made himself both available and accessible. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. In fact, he says, O Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killest those that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. I would love to have done that. I would love to have received you. And then he says elsewhere, ye will not come to me that you might have life. He's accessible. What a witness is being borne. This rest that's an offer is telling us these wonderful things of our Savior. He's available. He's accessible. And there's one other important thing. And that is, he's adequate. We could rejoice in his availability. We could be thrilled at getting in close contact with him, talking with him, communing with him. But he could say, or if he could say, it's been lovely talking to you, but I'm sorry I can't do much for you. Not so with the Lord Jesus. Look at the words. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's able. There's nothing that he cannot do. He can do anything he wants to do. He's absolutely sovereign. He says, I will give you this rest. And listen, my dear hearer, he will give it to you gladly. He will give it to you freely. He will give it to you graciously. And when he gives it to you, he'll never take it away from you. It's there for you. It's available. And this is the wonderful witness that is being born. He says, the Son of God not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. This is for you, my hearer, if you will have it. This rest is for your weariness and from all your burdens. This is why he came to earth, to subject himself to the Father's will, to yield himself up to wicked men who took him and impaled him on the cross. But there, bearing our sins and God's plan and purpose, there laying down his life a ransom for the many, there shedding his precious blood to deal with our sins, there meeting all the claims of the law of God and divine justice, in order that he may be just, that God may be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. There's rest for you tonight. Will you make contact with him? Will you come to him? Will you commit to the yoke? Will you yield your life to him in its entirety? He says his yoke is easy, his burden is light. You'll find rest for your souls. But you've got to come. He is able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by him. May you come and receive this rest freely this very hour.